you're thinking I'm Jesse, it means that he gained a lot of weight and grew a little bit of hair. But I got a call from him about 3:30, 4, somewhere in there. And he said he was sick as a dog, ever how sick that is. Amber came down with it on Sunday, I think he said, or Monday morning. And evidently she's giving it to him. So that's the reason why y'all got me this evening. As usual, I'm not going to teach what he teaches because he'll come right back and reteach. So I don't do it. I let him teach his stuff. So I'm doing this is new off the press. So this is a first run for me on this, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm going to talk about a kind of a deep subject, but it's a subject that is mentioned a lot throughout the Scripture. I won't go through a lot of scripture this evening, so if you're a scripture writer, well, get your pen and your pad ready on different things, because there's a lot in the scripture, and I'm just kind of hitting some of the highlights. The Acts of the Apostles is filled with examples of people bringing people to peace. We're going to talk about peace, okay? Peacemaking, after all, is at the core of evangelism. And y'all going to get upset with me, but I will tend to sit because my knees will not hold up all the whole time. So, and we hear things at times through sermons. So we're going to go hit this lesson. And this is kind of on the surface. There's so much more that can be said. Peacemaking is at the core of evangelism. Think about that. If you don't have peace in your congregation among brethren, you have what? Strife. People upset with each other. Are you going to be able to evangelize? Are you going to be able to learn about more of God's will when you're bitter, upset with somebody, all that type of stuff? It's going to be tough. Paul reminds us that we should prepare our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We should all be peacemakers. Ephesians 6, 14 through 15. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay? Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We seek to maintain peace with the ranks of God's family. And that's what we, each one of us, should be striving to do. And it's a daily thing, okay? It's daily. Nothing is more uplifting and God glorifying than a local church that's at peace. All those of you who travel, visited other churches, sometimes you can walk in a church and you're sitting there as a visitor, but you can tell something's not right here. Okay? There's an atmosphere all of a sudden. You just have that feeling. Something's not going on correct. So we need to seek to maintain that peace always. Nothing is more uplifting than God glorifying the local church at peace. On the other hand, nothing is more what? Deplorable than one that's not. One that's not at peace, who's there? Who's in that congregation? That's right, the devil. Satan is walking around. What does Satan look like? What does Satan look like? Come on, tell me what Satan looks like. What? Sheep in wolf clothes. How about a wolf in sheep's clothes? Did you say that backwards or did I misunderstand that? I might have been having a dyslexic moment and heard you backwards. I don't know. But yes. Satan is walking around not with lights on, not with one of these outfits that you see sometimes kids dress up at Halloween, a Satan outfit and all that. He's not walking around like that. He's walking around like anybody else with a smile and everything's great because he's trying to win you over to his camp is what he's trying to do. We have to be so careful on that. Most congregations find themselves in one of three situations. There's an internal disorder that results from strife. There's recovery from a recent strife. Or there are seeds that are being sown for future trouble. So in other words, most churches are in the middle of problems, just getting over problems, or getting ready to have problems. And why? It's because of Satan. Satan has snuck in, snatched onto somebody, got their attention, got their heart, got them believing something that is not true and goes against God's will, and then that person is trying to tell another one, and causing strife. Here we go. Satan notices when a church is at peace, and he will not stop at nothing to disrupt it. He is going to try to get his foot into that church. Time and time again, he searches for instigators. He wants an instigator he can use to cause disruption. Do you ever think you were an instigator? Oh, that's a tough question. You don't have to raise your hand on that one. But you think about that. Don't allow yourself to become his tool for division. You have to stay strong. But we have to stay on our toes all the time, brethren. It's an ongoing issue. He doesn't let up. He's roaming around all the time trying to, get somebody. The old saying that, which is so true, Satan is after Christians. And he's really after a church that's not having problems. And everybody is on the same page and everybody is one. He does not like that. Does he really work hard on a congregation that is teaching error? No. On some of these, what are there, 3,000 different faiths, they call it now in the United States? It may be more than that, but one time there's something like that. No, he's not working on those. He already has those in his camp. They don't realize it, but he's already done that. But when there is a God-fearing congregation that's trying to do God's will, they have a target on them. Just like we have a big target on the front of our building, Satan is after us, okay? And we have to be on guard. And some of you may be thinking, Zeruba, come on. No, it's that way. Unfortunately, I have seen it. It is that way. And some of y'all have seen it. I know you have. Some people can't seem to get along with anyone. You ever been around somebody like that? They're always grumbling about something, upset about something, upset about someone, always something. And I think probably everybody's been around a coworker or somebody that's like that, always grumping about something. Strife, discord, and disruption follow them like a big old cloud of dust. When it's dry in the summertime, you can look, if you're traveling, you look across the desert, and you see a puff of dust out here. You start looking in front of it. You're going to see something in front of it stirring up that dust. That's what happens when somebody's causing strife and discord. There's going to be a cloud of dust following them and around them. Jesus prayed for peace among his followers. John 17:21-23. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We need to be one. We have to have a love for each other, always be on the lookout, so that we all stay in one accord following God's will. Paul insisted that there be no divisions among you. Can divisions happen in the local church? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes just subtle things. You know, we talk about cliques at times. You know, a clique can be a division in a church because only certain people will get together. They only call certain ones to have over their friend, their house. That you have to watch that. You have to be, brethren, you got to be a little careful with that, okay? Because sooner or later, there's going to be some hurt feelings. And when you hurt a feeling that you can't really describe a feeling, but you got a feeling, that's a problem already. Satan is sneaking in. You got to watch it. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among ye, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, God has every intention that we all work to be peacemakers and definitely not strife instigators. We don't want to cause strife. It's something we all have to watch out for. And you'll hear me say that over and over because it's so true. Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers for what? Y'all know this. Blessed are the peacemakers for they shall be called what? The children of God. We all know that verse. Okay? We've heard it over the years. Oh, Charlie doesn't like me. I may start calling Charlie Big Charles here. Well, anyhow, strife is an old problem. In the Old Testament, Genesis 4, 1 through 10, what happened? We had two brothers, Cain and Abel. You know, they really had everything. You think about that first family. I mean, they already had everything. Why should they be upset with each other? But Cain and Abel got at odds with each other. And what happened? Who killed who? Why? Did he have to do that? No. What happened in there? Satan snuck in there. Started and convinced him that his brother is the cause of it or something. Okay, we'll never understand the whole thing, but that was the wrong thing. Genesis 13:7, strife between the herdsmen. Oh, the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. Oh, they couldn't get along. They both had these gigantic herds of sheep and camels and oxen and so forth. And they were having problems because all the workers wanted to get their sheep over here to this ground, and the others wanted to try to get there ahead of them, all these type of things. And they had trouble. Strife between the herdsmen. Genesis 27:41. Oh, that's a sad story. Jacob and Esau. Oh, that's a tough deal, okay? A battle there going on. Genesis 37. 3-4, strife between the sons of Jacob. Boy, they had a lot of problems, didn't they? All those brothers, a lot of problems going on. 1 Kings 14:30, a kingdom was split after Solomon died. The kingdom couldn't get along. Sad. Jump to the New Testament. Acts 6:1. One group feels slighted in a local church. Y'all remember that? And then they had to appoint some deacons to serve just those people. And help those widows out and so forth. Okay? That can happen in a local church. One group gets a little slighted and everybody's upset. Acts 11, 1 through 3. Taking issue with Peter's preaching. Oh, didn't like his preaching. Acts 15, 1. Strife over whether the gospel should go to the Gentiles. Oh, that was a big one there. You know, they got called in, big conference. Oh, the Gentiles shouldn't hear the gospel, and here we go. What was that? I think that was jealousy. We just want to be the only ones that know the gospel. Okay, where are the Jews? Okay, and, you know, I may be totally wrong, but they almost still have that same attitude all the way to now, this day and time. We almost see a lot of that with what we see over there and all the wars going on right now. Sad, very sad. 1 Corinthians 1 and 12, the Corinthian church divided over who baptized who. Remember that list there? You know, I have Paul, I have so-and-so. It depended on who baptized them and who they followed. That's wrong. That's wrong. It doesn't matter who baptizes somebody, as long as you obey the gospel and put on Christ as your Savior. It doesn't matter who actually was the baptizer, okay? We know that and understand, but Satan can still sneak in and get people thinking in strange ways. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven. Y'all know these. We've heard the list. It's been a little while. Or abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. You know, right there, we see that every time we turn the news on. Somebody around Houston, when you turn that TV and watch the news tonight, has shed innocent blood. Sad. The heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Oh, mercy me, oh my. Talk to any police officer, and some of the things that they see out there is evil. Evil, evil. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. You know, some people just have a knack of finding trouble. Their feet just run to it. They get in trouble. Stay in trouble. Okay? What's the situation with prisons? They let them out, and there's a very high percentage of prisoners are back in prison within what time period? 2 years. Within 2 years. I think something like 70% are back in. They have a tough time reforming because their feet run to mischief. False witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. We have to be so careful. Peacemaking is essential. It's very, very essential in the Lord's church. But it is not always possible. Sometimes things happen and you cannot get peace. Some brethren just will not give in and understand and realize that I need to change my ways. I do not have to be this. I do not need to sow all this discord. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Right here, in the writer of Romans tells us it's not always possible, but that's what we got to strive for. The implication is that it's not always possible. However, Christians must put forth our maximum effort to maintain peace in each relationship. It will not happen by accident. We have to work at it, brethren. We've got to work at it. You know, this whole thing being one is a relationship. It's a one-on-one with each other, okay? We got to just keep working on it. Pursue it. 1 Peter 3:10 through 11. For he that will love life and see good days, let him now refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. What have we talked about? That old bad tongue. Tongue gets us in trouble a lot. We have to be so careful with it. That means you got to be careful what you say when you say it. In the Wednesday morning ladies Bible class, we've been talking about sometimes the best thing that is so golden is silence. Okay? Don't say a thing sometimes. Peter gives a threefold formula for a blessed life. Watch your words. Watch your words now. Avoid evil. Okay? And pursue peace. Peace is something that we all have to be proactive in. You know, you don't wait till there's a problem and then you try to get peace. You're proactive to try to prevent any problems. You got to make it happen. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. That's part of the reason why we need to meet every week, get together, edify each other, help reinforce that peace among ourselves, okay? Some things that make for peace while other things make for strife. You know, some fellows are just looking for a fight. They just have that in them. They just look for a fight because Satan has got hold of them. Learn the difference. Exercise wisdom. Use good judgment. It's so easy at times during a conflict to let all judgment leave our brain. We just totally forget, lose it. What causes strife? What's the main cause of strife? Well, yeah, but what's the main cause? We've just been talking about him. Satan. He's the main cause. He's the one that sneaks in and gets us to thinking wrongly, okay? James 3:14 through 16. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. God is not the author of confusion, strife, and division. Satan is. He's the culprit. James says it is demonic. On the other hand, the wisdom from above is what? It's pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make for peace. James 3:17 through 18. Satan is the culprit. We got to be on the watch all the time. Another cause is ignorance. Romans 3:17, and the way of peace have they not known. The context reveals that the one lacking understanding is often the cause of strife. They're causing a problem, asking a lot of questions, let's say, because they don't have enough knowledge. They have not understood well enough yet. For example, a young person growing up amidst a family feud will often carry that over into a new relationship. When they grow up, they're going to be one of those that's going to try to have a feud going somewhere also. The same can be true for the Lord's family. When it comes to peace, some Christians fail to realize what they are missing. You know, sometimes there's confusion in a church, and It goes on for a long time. People leave and so forth. And then somebody will ask, well, what happened? What's caused all this? And what happened so many of the times? People look at each other. We don't remember. We don't know. In one aspect, you think that's silly because it probably was not anything very large, but they let it, Satan got somebody, there was an instigator, and it caused it to grow large when it was really nothing. That's the reason why we have to be proactive as peacemakers, okay? 3 John 9-10, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, praying against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. He wasn't content. Neither doth he receive, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Man, this guy's a bad guy. Okay? Years ago, way back, March and I were traveling. We was up in the Dakotas, went and saw the presidents up on the rock and all that stuff. We was trying to find a church, and we went to church, just went to church and said, well, we think about driving, this far over. Do you know any churches over there? And this preacher looked at me and said, well, there is a church over there, but, oh, they got so many problems. They have a man, he's the self-appointed elder. They only have one elder. It was him. He appointed himself as an elder in that congregation. But the problem was the brethren, people still who are Christians, would still go there knowing it's wrong, type situation, because there wasn't another congregation for 200 or 300 miles up there. Sad that people get thrown in that situation. Okay? The devil had gotten a hold of that man. There's no doubt. Strife exists sometimes when one person seeks his or her way. That's why I'm talking about this man. Diotrephes and his quest for control violated the essential quality of love. Love does not seek its own. 1 Corinthians 13:5. The same patterns of childish behavior seen in immature children are often manifested in Christians who haven't grown up either. The root of such behavior goes back to selfishness. And we've all seen it with kids. They get very selfish, a bit this or that and so forth. And sometimes it can be a knockdown, drag out with them. Y'all seen it. And then you get them separated. What's the problem? Well, it gets down to being selfish. But the same thing can happen with us grown-ups. Because why? Satan has snuck in. He snuck into somebody's mind and got thinking about things. Okay? James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. We got to be so careful. Romans 14. Romans 14 has been beat up in all these different church-type magazines, type things, writings for preachers and all that for so long. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of it, the Roman congregation had trouble because certain ones tried to bind individual consciences upon others. How many churches have fragmented because someone held an opinion and pushed it way too far? It's going to be my way or the highway. You don't like it? Well, y'all need to leave. It's my way. The apostle's solution in verse 19, So then let us pursue things which make for peace and the building up for one another. We have to be peacemakers. We have to be. Jealousy. Oh, jealousy is another thing. 1 Corinthians 3:3-4. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another of Apollos, are you not carnal? Snuck in. We got to be careful. You know what? I've termed that many times. There's some brethren that get preacheritis. That's a term I've probably made up. It's probably not even, somebody Google it and find out if I'm sure or not. But preacheritis. They believe anything the preacher says. The preacher could preach total error out of the pulpit. Oh, that was a wonderful sermon. And he preached error. We got to be careful. We got to still search the scripture, make sure what we're hearing is correct and true, so that Satan doesn't sneak in among us, okay? We don't want to be carnal. I don't know about y'all, brethren. I want to make it to heaven, okay? I want to make it to heaven. I got two kids up there who beat me there. I want to get up there and kick them real good for beating me there, for causing Margie and I to bury them first. That shouldn't be, okay? But I want to get there. So we got to be so careful. We don't need to ever be carnal. Jealousy was the cause of the Corinthian division and remains a leading cause of church trouble today. Jealousy. Someone gets something another doesn't have or serves in the kingdom work, such as a song leader, a Bible class teacher, etc., only to be begrudged. Again, love is not jealous. Okay? If somebody is jealous of me being up here, believe me, I'll tell Jesse that next time he's sick, you call them first. Okay? This is not a fun position sometimes. Okay? Any of you men that's been up here. Another one is gossip. Go gossip. Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. Very simple saying there. It's true. The church conflict is fueled by gossip. Okay? Stop the gossip. Stop the trouble. And it's amazing how fast a little misthing. You know, the old thing, y'all have probably played it at some point in time, where you sit in a circle and somebody whispers in somebody's ear, and then that person whispers another ear. And the first one that started it, they have written down exactly what they told the first one. And by the time it gets around 6 or 8 or 10 people, and that 10th one writes down what was told them, it is nothing to do with what the first one was. I mean, it's really an interesting game to play. People think they're telling the same thing, but they put a little twist here and here. That's the way gossip can really, really deal havoc in a congregation. We have to be so careful with that. Pointless questions. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. Controversial questions promote controversy. Have you ever been in a Bible class and you got someone, I remember, I know who it was, I'm not telling you, but I remember 10 years ago, this brother, he was always in a Bible class. He had to work overtime to find something in the verses were coming up ahead of time to ask the teacher, well, what about this? And that was it. The rest of the class period, all these hands go up talking about things, and then you see him just sit back and kind of watch. Everybody had an opinion over something that was just totally off, okay? We got to be so careful in that. Some take great delight in arguing over matters that don't matter. Paul challenged Timothy to refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. 2 Timothy 2 and 23. Some questions are undeserving of an answer. And some raising those questions aren't looking for answers as much as they are looking for an argument. Satan is doing that again. God wants his people to live in peace with him and with each other. Satan wants the apostle the opposite and will stop at nothing to accomplish his purpose. We must be aware of his schemes, hence the question. Are you a peacemaker or are you one of these strife instigators? And I really feel like everybody's sitting here, because this is definitely the core on a Wednesday evening in our congregation. We call it the core group, and who are all good Bible students. And as being the core group, we need to all be on guard for those who are trying to be an instigator. Okay? And they can be tough to try to deal with. Thank y'all. I hope some of this made a little bit of sense this evening. And you're dismissed, because I see them coming in from the classes. Thank y'all.